John's Gospel, chapter 1. Appreciate the message we just heard.
Amen. Hey.
I was thinking as he was telling about how God dealt with him in the Jubilee.
Yeah.
That back in the 60s, at a Jubilee, God dealt with me. Not about preaching, I had already surrendered to preach. But it was at that meeting, it was a large jubilee in Decatur, Georgia. Maze Jackson was the moderator. But they put up an old man about my age now. And he looked the congregation over. And he milked his chin. In a few minutes, he did it again. And he opened the book and started preaching. I sat there spellbound. I could not believe what he was showing me out of the book. When he finished preaching and they dismissed the congregation, I was still sitting there when they cut the lights out. I had never been in the presence of God like that before. I went home and begged God to let me talk to that man. The next day he did it again. After they had dismissed and everybody had left and I was sitting there and the lights was off, the pastor come running back in. Randy Hardiman was his name. He was friends to my wife's family. And he knew me by name and he said, "Dennis, I just got a call. One of my deacons was killed on the job. I must go. Would you take this dear brother to lunch?" We got in the car to leave the church. I was so anxious to pick his brain that I called his name and I said, "I must ask you a question." And I did. His response was he slid down in the seat, put his head on the headrest and went to sleep. Never said a word. We got to the restaurant where he told me to take him. I woke him up and we went in, and when we got our plate and went to the table, he said, "Now about that question you asked me." I said that to say this: God put him in my path to put me in this book. I couldn't believe what he was showing me out of the Bible. It was at the awesome. Could I say, go to Jubilees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Man, we've heard stuff this week that ought to cause us to burn for a month.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
I tell you, he's awesome.
Amen.
Thank God for young men like this that God's putting his hand on and using for his honor and glory.
Yeah.
I look back and see where I came from, and I just bless God for it.
Amen.
Amen. Redneck or no redneck.
Amen.
John's Gospel, chapter 1, if you have your Bibles open. I'm going to read two verses, then I'm going to reread them with a little exposition, and then I'll pray and we'll say what the Lord will give us to say. Verse 1 said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 1, "In the beginning, when all things began, was the Word." The Word already was.
Yeah.
And the Word was with God. The Word dwelt with God. And the Word was God. That is, what God was, the Word was. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, we saw His glory, the glory of, that is, from the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, I pray that You would literally take my mind to think Your thoughts, my lips to speak Your word. And I pray that You would give me the ability to say it in a suitable manner in which it would bring glory to You, and that we would be able to see Him again anew and afresh, who is altogether lovely. Lord, thank You for Your blessings on our life this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we know that John was a fisherman. He's sure going to take us into some deep water. Amen. Would you notice with me that according to what he said here, that never has there ever been a man ever pinned down words that were more deep and serious than what John is saying in these verses to us. I look at these verses of Scripture and I notice that they could not have just come from the pen of a human being. This has to be the Word of God itself. Now you know, and just let me remind you, that in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all begin in time. John begins in eternity. Amen. In the beginning. You see, he's carrying our minds back before anything ever started. Before there was anything known as time. He's carrying us back beyond that to eternity. He said in this opening verse, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word was here is timeless. Yeah. He's talking about something that never had a beginning and will never have an ending. Amen. This word was. See what it is that John is saying to us? He's saying that Christ, who was the Word, was co-eternal with the Father. Amen. In the beginning, the word in. When the beginning had its beginning, when it all started, He was there. He was, never had a beginning. He was co-eternal with the Father. Then he goes a little further and said he's co-existent with the Father. He was with Him. They existed together. Then he said he was God. That is, he was co-equal with God the Father. You see, this word cannot be anything but a person. And this person here that's going to speak is the personification of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is personifying truth to you and to me. Now, you see a word, and the beginning was the Word. The Word, you see, is a thought that has not been spoken. You see, as long as that word stays in your mind, nobody knows what you're thinking. You can come to church, sit on the pews, think anything you want to think, and nobody will know it. But you see, the word is audible thinking. Stay with me now. In other words, Jesus Christ is telling you what God is a thinking.
Could I say it this way? Christ has always been the word on the tip of God's tongue. I want you to notice with me that in verse 18 here, that it tells us that Christ, this word, declared him to us. That word declare, he told him out. Jesus Christ came and told the Father to us. And he said, what I want to tell you is about his glory. And he said, that glory is full of grace and it's full of truth. You see, from the very beginning, Christ was the Word. I say it again, on the tip of God's tongue. And what he did was he came and spelled out in his death, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, what God wanted you and me to know. I look at this and I see what John is doing here is trying to express the inexpressible. He's the unspeakable one. He's carrying us way back before time into eternity. And he said, I want to reveal to you reality. The only real thing. God to you and me. You see, God was anxious to get his truth out. So he sent the truth, who was the Word, so that you and I could get the truth of Almighty God himself. He was communicating himself. You see, he's the expression of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen him. Now jump down to verse 14 and notice, if you will, we're going to pass from the word of the invisible word, verses 1 through 5, to the incarnate word, verse number 14. And the word became flesh. And the word became a human being. And the word became man. He's announcing the mystery of the incarnation. That's what he's announcing here. The Word became a human being. The invisible became tangible. Divinity became humility. You see, it is not easy for us to understand all of this. But could I say to you, he did not cease to be what he was before. He just became what he had never been before. You see, God had never been man until the incarnation. You didn't hear what I said. God became man. Divinity and dust were united. God and flesh. This is the greatest thing that has ever happened. Everything in Christianity stands on the foundation of the incarnation of God. You see, the Word took human nature and through it expressed himself. God didn't express himself through angels. He expressed himself through a man. By the way, that's what he wants to do inside you, is express himself through you. You see, flesh. Think with me now. The Word became flesh. God comes to you along the same road that the devil does. The amens quit there, didn't they? How did God come to you? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying to you, Paul will help us. Watch this. He said, without controversy. That word controversy means without dispute. It means without argument. You can't argue with this. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of the divine. God was manifested, made visible, where? In the flesh. He was God. He could be worshipped. He was man. The Word became flesh so that He could die for you. You see, God could never die till God become a man to die for man. This Bible said He gave His life for many. The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ died for our sin. When did He die? In the flesh. God didn't hang on the cross in the spirit. He hung on the cross in the flesh. You see, Christ can be known as God, but He can be worshipped as God. He can be known as a man because He's unique from His very beginning. Nobody was like Him because He had a heavenly Father and an earthly mother. He was God, man. We say it, as much God as if He wasn't man, He is as much man as if He wasn't God. God said it, He was a God, man. I'm saying the words here in this verse, it said, the Word dwelt among us, is John's description of the earthly ministry of Christ and those that fellowshiped with Him. Those that fellowshiped with Him was the disciples. The early disciples. But He called Paul and said, I want you to pin this down for me so that all of them will know. He said, but we all, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Father. You see, the same thing they got to see naturally with their eyes, you and I get to see.
Amen.
He's not left us behind.
Amen.
He's not left us out.
Thank God.
Please listen to me. If you ever get to know Him, you got to get in the book. Here's where you find Him. He's the Word. Oh, my soul, what a book God has given us. You see, He said we beheld His glory. What did we behold? What did they behold? What did they see? They saw His glory. They observed His superior excellencies. They observed His divine perfections. They observed His character. Character is what distinguishes a person. And what distinguished the person of Christ was grace and truth.
Amen.
He said they saw His glory and that glory was full of it.
Amen.
How is it that God deals with man? In grace, by truth. You see, the way you got saved is in grace by truth. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That Word is the seed of God that brought you into the family of God. And that truth, that Christ, That word was full of grace and truth. You see, grace is God accepting me though I did not deserve it. Grace is me becoming a partaker of divine nature. Grace is our being changed into His likeness. Paul calls it a new creation. You see, what grace does for us is that it manifests the life of Christ in and through us. I got saved a long time ago. Could I tell you I was influenced by some godly people? Two of them was my mom and daddy. You see, every night in family altar, I would hear them read the Word of God to me and call my name to God in prayer. I can hear my mother with a third grade education saying in simple terms, "Dear Jesus, would you save Dennis?" I never could get over it. You see, something was coming through her that got a hold of me. And it was my joy. I want to say it was my joy to preach her funeral on if I could hear my mother pray again. You see what I'm telling you is grace is that which transforms us and makes us God-like. Grace reveals His glory through us, His character through us. Truth, of course, if you go way back in Deuteronomy, He said, He's a rock. And Moses closed out that verse of Scripture in chapter 32, and he said that He's a God of truth. You jump from the law to grace, and I hear Jesus say, I'm that truth. John chapter 14 and verse number 9. See, God is a personification of the Word of God. He's the personification of the truth of God. So we'd better give close attention to Christ because He is the truth. I'll fail you. I make mistakes. There's places you can put your finger on me. Try putting it on Him. You see, you can't do it. In Ephesians 4 and 21, He said, this truth is in Jesus. So if we're going to get it, we got to get in Him because it's all in Him. Amen. This Word is the truth. Truth is invincible. The world's been trying to destroy it for years, and the truth is still here.
Amen.
That old black preacher he mentioned last night in his message, Fields, I heard him say this in Exodus 15 there. It said that God is a man of war. Brother Phil said, you can't whip Him. Could I say truth is invincible? Truth's excellences cannot be estimated. Truth's ministry cannot be measured. Every detail of truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. And we behold His glory when we're looking at Him and we see what our God is like.
Amen.
Oh, my soul. So I'd better give more attention from my eyes. I better go give more intimacy. My heart. To the character of truth. That can never, never fail. And we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. We beheld His glory and never have been the same since. The young man was right when he said, you can't meet Jesus and stay the same. He'll just change you. Isn't that awesome? God literally changes us. You see, Christianity does mean Christmas, the coming of God in Christ, bringing life, new life. It's a birth. Listen to me, a birth. I want to say it again, a birth.
Amen.
The only one that can birth is God.
Amen.
And when he bursts you, you're alive, brother.
Amen.
Oh, my soul. Word was high before he became low. He was rich before he ever became poor. He was God before he ever became man. Thank God for this blessed incarnation. We have in this God-man the critical explanation of the eternal. If you won't let me mess your mind up, when you get to heaven, you ain't going to see God the Father. You're only going to see God the Son. He's the only one that's got a body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit was all spirit before Jesus became a man. And he became a man so he could communicate with us. And when you get to heaven, the one that's sitting on the throne that you're going to bow down to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God is spirit, John 4:24, and you can't see a spirit. But he said, if you've seen me, you've seen him. Amen. He said he's the fullness of the Godhead. Sure, the Holy Ghost is real. Sure, God the Father is real. But he became man so he could communicate with you and me. The incarnation is supernatural, yet it's all unnatural. It's just totally natural. Nothing unnatural about the birth. You know that as well as I know that. So I'm saying he came so that in our darkness we could have light, so truth could triumph over error, so that sin could be defeated and hell lose its grip and us be loosened to fly away. You see, Christ is God. Physical manifestation. But it's also his divine mystery. I don't care how far you go, God will always be a mystery. He ain't gonna never let you figure it all out. If I got this figured out right, and I don't have Bible for this, I just got it in my soul. Have you ever been alone with God, just you and your Bible, and all of a sudden something comes alive? And all of a sudden you're so overwhelmed with the truth that has just been revealed to you. You lay across your desk and say, oh God, you want to say something but don't know what to say. You're overwhelmed. I believe with all of my soul, heaven will be a constant unveiling of God. It'll be a moment by moment. And after, the only way we can do is figure it in time. 10 trillion, billions, millions of years later, he'll still be unveiling. Never get to the end of the excitement of being in the presence of divinity. What a God! What?